just overwhelmed with joy in the first service. I've known Robert Stearns. I think I met you maybe, boy, it was a lot of years ago. If I was to tell you Robert's complete bio, we'd be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. So I've taken some highlights out of it. Number one, he is my friend. He is a lover of Israel. He's not only a lover, he is a defender of Israel. And I thought this morning, how appropriate for him to be here. How blessed and how God coordinated the timing because of this past week's incident where the evil crime of the ISIS killing that journalist so brutally. And for him to be here today to talk about a little about Israel. Because it just doesn't have to do, my brothers and sisters, with Israel. Some people say, well, what's that got to do with me? It has everything to do with you and I. It has everything to do with you and I. Because if at any moment you think, well, that's over there and we're over here, believe me. And Rob will highlight a little of that this morning. He's the founder. He's the executive director of Eagle's Wings, a global movement of churches, ministries, and leaders. He's a noted author. He's a world-class musician. He's ministered in 30 nations with a focus on Israel. He's the founder of the Worldwide Prayer Initiative, the Day of Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem, which is observed every year the first Sunday in October, along with Dr. Jack Hayford, who I've told you before, God, Jesus, Jack Hayford. That's how it works in heaven. Robert has met with three of Israel's prime ministers. He's a feature columnist in magazines as Charisma, Ministries Today. He's been a guest on numerous television programs, God TV, The 700 Club, 100 Huntley Street, TBN, Daystar, Days of Our Lives, As the World Turns, and so on, The Price is Right. In July of last year, Robert became the senior lead pastor of the Tabernacle in Orchard Park, where Pastor Tommy Reed had pastored for 50 long years. I went to that beautiful inauguration of the changing of the hands, and I sat there. I had a tinge of jealousy. He had everybody that was anybody there laying hands on him and praying over him, and I thought, when I became pastor here, it was my wife praying over me and kicking me out the door. Get going, honey. You can do it. But I'm honored. I am blessed, and you're going to be blessed today. I want you to give Robert Stearns, Eagle's Wings, the Tabernacle. He came all the way here to be a blessing to us. Come on, I want you to give him a best city church welcome. Come on, give him a great welcome today. Come on, you can do better than that.
There we go. Garrett, it's too bad God couldn't have made you good looking. You know, he could have used your life if he just... How y'all doing? Praise the Lord. It is awesome to be here in Connecticut with you this morning. It's awesome to be here in Batavia, in God's house. And I thank the Lord. Don't you feel the Spirit of God here with us today? I feel the presence of God's Spirit, and I thank the Lord for the faithful perseverance of the kingdom of God that this house operates in. We are living in a very tumultuous time in history. Things are not going to get easier. Things are going to get tough, but things are going to get glorious. And we're going to be drawn together into a divine adventure that we haven't seen really since the book of Acts, where the church comes into a place of unity and effectiveness and focus and covenantal love and the presence of God. that we've only read about. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just read stories from this book. I want to say, God, I want to be living stories out of this book today. Is this thing on? Can you all hear me? You're allowed to talk back, all right? I said, I want to be living stories out of this book today. And this house has made a decision to align itself with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This house has made a decision to align itself with the apostolic church of God, the move of God in this hour. And I know you all already know this, but you are massively blessed to have this man and woman of God leading this house and pastoring this people. You are a blessed, blessed people. When you get into, can you give me just a little more on this mic, brother, at least in the monitors, maybe in the mains, just until the Holy Ghost shows up. When the Holy Ghost shows up, you know, you can trim me back, but for now, make me sound like James Earl Jones, please. When you get in the orbit of these people, they just start loving on you. And you can't really figure it out, but all of a sudden they just show up everywhere. I'm convinced that Pastor Marty is a triplet. There's got to be three of them out there because he's everywhere simultaneously. He's just at every meeting, at every lunch, at every situation, every counseling appointment, every hospital. He's there. And this couple, this family, gives of the love of God with a level of compassion and a level of loyalty and faithfulness that I have rarely encountered. They are a rare commodity in the body of Christ. They are not in this thing to build an institution. They're in it to love a family. And you all get to experience that all the time. Give them one more big God bless you. You're blessed. You're a blessed people. Well, I am very glad to be here this morning. Pastor Marty said he came all the way here. Well, I live on Route 5 and on Main Street. I thought, well, wouldn't that, you know, usually when they say that, I've been on three planes and et cetera. All the way here is all right. It's not too hard. It's one turn from my house to get here. Don't forget that. All right. One turn and a swing through of Tim Hortons. And I was here this morning. And it's a blessing to be here. And God has made us family, and I greet you from the tabernacle and on behalf of Eagle's Wings. And it's wonderful to have some friends with me here this morning. Aaron and Caitlin Durstein are here. Caitlin is in the back with baby Eva and doing some auntie duty back there. But Aaron and Caitlin's in the back. Would you guys just stand? These are a part of our staff, part of our Eagle's Wings team. And for many, many years, they have served as a part of our team in wonderful ways. Caitlin helps oversee our Israel ministry. We bring groups to Israel all the time. We'll be leaving in just about 4 weeks, about 100 of us going to Israel on September the 29th, heading over there. And then again in May, we'll be going over for the Jerusalem 2015 Feast of Pentecost celebration, and Caitlin helps coordinate all of that, and Aaron oversees our communications department. We communicate regularly to close to 180 nations around the world. Our Day of Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem material is translated into 29 languages all around the world. And every single day in our office, we receive email from all over the world. And we resource the body of Christ in the nations. Just Friday, Wendy came to me and she said, we just got an email from an underground believer in Kuwait. And they said, I'm in connection with secret believers here in Kuwait, and we're going to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem on the first Sunday of October in this Muslim nation of Kuwait. How many know God hears and answers prayer? God responds when his people unify together. And so Aaron helps oversee all of that communications effort and keeps all of that connected. I wanted to say briefly, there's a table in the back with resources, and I don't want to take a lot of time on that, but two things I want to mention. We prepared two free gifts for every one of you today. If you'll stop by the table in the back, we have two free gifts we want to give you. These are just two little booklets that we put out. The first is called the Jerusalem Prayer Guide, and it just gives you some very basic connect points in Scripture of why Jerusalem is important. Maybe you're like me, and you're not Jewish. I am not Jewish. Everyone assumes I'm Jewish. I have a Jewish-sounding last name. I talk about Israel all the time, and they automatically assume that I am Jewish. I'm not Jewish. Israel, I had no connection to Israel. I had no connection whatsoever. When I thought of Israel, I thought of, you know, Charlton Heston coming down with the Ten Commandments. I had no connection at all until I went. And God just changes you when you go. Every Christian should believe God that at least once in your life, you're going to make a trip to Israel. And before you go to Florida to see that accursed mouse again, you'll get it. Just think about it. Before you go on a Carnival cruise ship and end up, you know, wherever, you need to get on a plane and get over to Israel. Your Bible will come alive. Your life will be transformed. You say, well, I can't afford it. Well, you just begin to trust God. Start a little Israel fund. When people ask you what you want for your birthday, for Christmas, say, I'm saving up for my trip to Israel. And believe that the Lord will make it. It might take 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but the Lord will make a way for you to go over and to experience that nation. And it will change your life. But the key thing, these two booklets, and just tuck this away. Understand this. Jerusalem is not a metaphor. Jerusalem is not an idea. When you read Jerusalem in the Bible, I want you to think, it's talking about a real place. It's talking about a real city. It's talking about real people. And as Pastor Marty has said already this morning, there is a connection between what happens in that tiny country, that tiny city, and what happens all over the world. We want you to be equipped. The second book is called Why Stand with Israel Today. It was written by my pastor, Pastor Jack Hayford. It's seven simple reasons about why it's important to stand with the nation and people of Israel, especially in this very tumultuous time. So when you came in today, did you get this form? Did the ushers get you this form? If you didn't get this form, just quickly raise your hand if you need one. The ushers will get one to you. But we want to give you these free booklets. And if you'll just fill this out real quickly and drop it at the table in the back, the ushers will get you those free booklets that we can get to you and your family. And they will be a strength and a blessing to you. There's other resources back there, our worship CDs, and all of those things. And I think Brock and Marcy are you guys going to be back there today? I tell you what a precious couple. Brock and Marcy, stand up. These folks are awesome. They are such a blessing to our ministry, and we appreciate you lending us to them once in a while. And Marcy will come up and she will volunteer in the office, and they'll come and volunteer in our Keepers of the Flame services. And they are just a precious couple. And, so God bless you guys. We appreciate you real, real, real greatly, and thank the Lord for you. Amen. I really feel that this house is going to experience a fresh baptism. I feel like God is going to interrupt you. You know, a lot of times we can just kind of be going on because we know how to do church. And I just sense that the Holy Spirit, in these months ahead of you, you are on a timetable where God is going to interrupt you and show up in deeper and more profound ways than you have yet imagined. I want to tell you, it's not just about coming and filling a seat. God wants to encounter this house in a fresh way. And I sensed in my spirit that in the same way Samuel was sleeping and he heard a voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he ran into Eli. Yes, what do you need? I feel like this house is about to start hearing a voice. And the first few times you hear the voice, you may think of some natural things. You may think, oh, well, we should do this, or oh, we should do that. And what will unfold will be God saying, no, 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 this is me. This isn't just a new program. This isn't just a new idea. The living presence of God is showing up. Just lift your hands to the Lord right now, will you please? Father, in the name of Jesus, baptize. Father, baptize this house in a fresh way with the Spirit of God. Lord, I ask for a divine interruption. I ask for a baptism like happened in the upper room, where all of a sudden a rushing mighty wind came in and filled the house. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would send a baptism of the Holy Spirit that overwhelms and that brings the presence of the Spirit of God. Father, we release the Spirit of God into every heart, into every home, into every child and grandchild, and we declare Batavia will encounter the Holy Spirit. We declare Batavia will encounter the Holy... We declare Batavia. Son of Man, God says to you, this city is going to talk about what's happening in this house. This city is going to talk about what's happening in this house. Don't be concerned if some say, well, they're just drunk. They're just drunk with wine, even though it's early in the day. Some will never fully understand the move of the Spirit. But God says, I've placed a hunger inside this house, and I'm going to fulfill this hunger with the release of my presence. Would you just thank the Lord this morning all across this house? Father, we receive an expectation in Jesus' name. Amen. Find your Bibles this morning. Find your Bibles if you will. And just very quickly, if you would, turn to wherever the Holy Spirit leads you. No, I'm kidding. Find your Bibles this morning. We're going to look at three key scriptures this morning. I want to just share a principle from God's Word with us. How is God God? How does God establish His relationship with us? How do we continue in our relationship with God? How do we maintain vital connection with God? How does that work? What is that all about? Why are these things important? Pastor Marty talked this morning a little bit. He said, you know, sometimes I just need somebody who's got skin on them. And certainly we can understand how we need to maintain connection with our brothers and sisters. And that's wonderful. And that's awesome. And it's so urgent. But how do we maintain connection with God? How do we maintain relationship with God? I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. How we walk in the blessing of God. How we walk in the knowledge of God. How we walk in the presence of God. How we walk in vital connection and covenantal blessing. And we're going to look at three different scriptures that all speak to the same principle. So I want to teach this morning one principle, just one point. I only have one point. People said, oh my God, a preacher is only going to make one point. Yeah, but I'll take my time making it, so hold on. I've only got one point this morning, but I'm going to take three examples to build that point, and then we're going to close with kind of an exclamation point at the end of it. All right, is that okay with you? And I don't want you to be worried. I know the guest preacher's here, and you're all worried, you know, are we going to get to Red Lobster in time or wherever y'all go down here. And don't worry, Pastor Marty was very clear with me. And so we will have you out by 1:30. Don't worry at all. It'll all be okay. All right? I want to begin in the beginning. So turn to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, this fascinating first few chapters, begins to outline God's interaction with his creation. It presents to us God's interaction with the world that he created. Did he create it in a little literal 24 hours, 6 days, or did he build? There's all those mysteries I don't understand. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But if we'll read these verses through eyes of faith, God's bringing principles in place as he outlines his interaction with time and space that he's created. And in chapter 2 of Genesis, God creates Adam and Eve, and he places Adam and Eve in the midst of a garden. I woke up this morning, and I walked outside, and I just thought, it is a beautiful day. Isn't it a beautiful day? God has made a beautiful world for us. I just hired a landscaper about 3 weeks ago. Where was your brother? I needed your brother. I hired a landscaper 3 weeks ago, and I said, you know what? I said, this whole part of my lawn is just kind of, ugh. I said, I need some flowers in there. I like to see color. I like to see what God has made. And I walked outside this morning, all the bushes were there, and there's a butterfly bush, and there's birds are singing, and the sun is shining, and the bees are buzzing. And I thought, it is a beautiful day. God created Adam and Eve, and he placed them, listen, in a garden. And God said, I have given this all to you. This is for you. There wasn't any sweat. There wasn't any hard labor. There wasn't any toil. He just said, just care for this garden. It's all here for you. Now look at this verse. It's very, very interesting. Look at this verse. Chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to care for the garden. Verse 16. And the Lord said to the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Now, usually we read this scripture and we quickly go to the second part of the scripture and says, but don't eat of that tree in the middle. We focus on the but don't eat of that tree. But let's pause for a moment and let's consider the first part of that. God says you're free to eat of every tree in this garden. God says, what's inside your heart? Do you love music? You're free to express yourself in music. Weren't the musicians incredible this morning? I just looked at that. Is that a cello? Is that a cello or a viola? What is it? And she was just, I mean, my goodness. She was playing that cello like I eat fettuccine Alfredo. I mean, she was just working it. And the brother was on the trumpet. And, you know, that guitarist was channeling Jimi Hendrix. And I mean, there was just all kinds of stuff going on up there this morning in an anointed way, brother, wherever you are. Where are you? There he is. Stand up there, brother. Do you see him? Wait, take a look. No, stand up. I didn't tell you. Listen, in heaven, I'm going to have hair just like that. All right. I want to be. You're free to eat of every tree in the garden. What do you like? Do you like agriculture? Do you like landscaping? Do you like architecture? Do you like history? Do you like engineering? What makes your heart happy? We serve a God who says, I want to give you the things that make your heart happy. God says, I want to define my relationship with you on saying you're free to eat of all of these trees. And God creates this expansive garden. He says, here it is. What are you interested in? What intrigues you? What do you connect with? Just explore it. And then he issues one sentence. He says, but this tree, you see this tree? Do y'all see it? He said, this tree is a different tree. This tree is a special tree. This tree is holy to me. Don't eat of this tree. Your relationship with me and my ability to bless you is based on you recognizing that that tree is mine and you're not to touch it. It's a principle that God put into place at the very founding of creation. Now turn over a few pages to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. The children of Israel, and I wish I had time this morning because this just, this fascinates me. Exodus chapter 20, Moses has led the children of Israel out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. They've been in bondage for 400 years. He leads out, and there's different estimates of how many Israelites came out, but let's just use a million, okay? Round number. He's leading a million people out of Egypt. They get to the desert. They get to the desert. Everybody say desert. Now, that was 17 of you. Everybody say desert. They get to a desert. And God begins to encounter them in a desert. I don't have time to go there for a moment, but there's somebody here this morning and you're in a desert. And God says, don't worry, I've brought you into that desert to encounter you. God likes to meet people in deserts. It's a whole other sermon. I'm right down the road. Let you know, one turn in a Tim Hortons and I'm here, brother, anytime you need me. The children of Israel in the desert, and God begins to reveal himself to them. And here's what he says to them. Think of this. He says, 6 days you can work, but that seventh day, don't touch it. That seventh day, that's mine. These other days you can just have at it. Have at it. Make tents. Play the tambourine. Do whatever you want. But that seventh day, that's mine. You leave that seventh day alone. God says, my ability to bless you is conditioned upon your response to recognize that that seventh day is mine. Now, what blows my mind is who's he speaking to? A million desert nomads who are in a desert. There's not a 7-Eleven in sight. Work was a matter of survival. Work was a matter of survival. And so all of a sudden, at the very earliest moments, God begins to destroy Darwin. Because God says it's not the survival of the fittest. Because otherwise it's about surviving and fighting and working every bit of every day. Because in the animal kingdom, they work every day. And God says, you're not an animal. You have the ability to set something aside and to call it sacred and to call it holy. And by doing so, to come into covenant relationship with the holy God. You can touch those 6 days. You can do what you want. But the seventh is holy. If you want to walk in communion, if you want to walk in blessing, if you want to walk in the knowledge of God, leave that seventh day for me. It's the same principle in the garden. That tree is mine. 7 days. That day is mine. Turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Just keep going to the right. Leviticus chapter 23. That was not a political statement. It was just telling you which page to turn, although... Never mind, I'm not going to touch that. Okay, Leviticus 23, verse 9. Leviticus 23, 9. The Lord says to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about how do a group of people in Batavia, New York, in the real world, maintain relationship with the real God? How do a group of people in Batavia, New York, not encounter a theology or a philosophy or a doctrine or an idea, but encounter the presence of the real God? And so God speaks to the Israelites and he says to the Israelites in Leviticus 23, When you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest. What are you saying? Well, when you get a job, when you move in whatever your area is, bring to the priest the sheaf of the first grain of your harvest. He will wave the sheaf before the Lord and it will be accepted on your behalf. What is this called? It's called the first fruits offering. The first fruits. He says, when you go in, if you're going to plant a field, take the portion of that first harvest and you bring that to the house of God. When you go in and you have a herd, you've got cattle, you've got sheep, you've got that, take the first fruits of that and bring it to the house of God. Bring into the house of God. Out of this, we get the principle of tithing. What's the principle of tithing? The principle of tithing is this. It's the exact same principle as the principle of Sabbath. The principle of Sabbath is God saying, I separate you from the animal kingdom. And I bring you into covenantal blessing by saying, that seventh day is mine. The principle of tithing is this. 90% of our income plus the blessing of God equals more than 100% of our income without the blessing of God. It's the principle of tithing. God says, this little bit, this 10%, 90%, go for it. Use it, be blessed, eat of every tree in the garden, enjoy those 6 days of the week. Take that 90% and go to Chuck E. Cheese. Go bowling. Play canasta. I don't know, whatever you do, have fun. That 10%, that's mine. Bring that into covenantal connection with me and watch that I will open the windows of heaven and I will bless you. 90% plus the blessing of God changes the dynamic. Now I'm coming to my last point this morning.
And all God's people said,
no, that's not nice. Here's the principle. God is speaking to humanity from the garden onward. And in the garden, he says, you can enjoy all of this. I've created this for you to be blessed. But this tree's different. This tree, don't touch it. It belongs to me. Your relationship with me is secured by you listening to what I'm saying about that tree. Then he looks at time. And he says, those 6 days are yours. Enjoy them. Be blessed. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your work. Enjoy the hobbies that you have. But that seventh day is mine. You give that seventh day to me. You consecrate that seventh day to me and watch that I'm going to change your life and I'm going to bless your life. Your income, enjoy it. The Lord gives the power to make wealth and he addeth no sorrow to it. You enjoy the blessings I've given you. But that first fruits, that 10%, that something different about that. That's mine. Consecrate that to me and watch how I will bless you if you will stay in covenantal connection with me. Now, church, listen to me for 2 minutes. And I'm closing. You'll miss the whole point of the message if you miss what I'm about to say. And the God of the universe, the King of the nations, looks at the nations of the world. He looks at America and Great Britain. He looks at Malawi and Malaysia. He looks at Indonesia and India. He looks at all of the ethnic groups in the world. God looks at the nations and he says, nations, I've created a world for you to be blessed. Build cities. Build cities. Secure borders. Build nations. Bring forth technology. Bring forth blessings. Go to Hawaii. I heard an amen over here. Enjoy New Zealand so you can film the Lord of the Rings. I heard an amen back there. He says, I've created all these nations and Enjoy these nations and participate in these nations. All you rulers of the world, all you kings, all you presidents, all you prime ministers, all you parliamentarians, enjoy this world. I've created this world for you. But you see that dirt? You see that little bit of dirt there in the Middle East? That dirt, that tiny little piece of land called Israel, God says that dirt is different dirt. That dirt is holy dirt. That dirt is mine. And God says, nations of the earth, your relationship or lack thereof with me is based on how you relate to that little piece of real estate. Because I have put my name in that land. And you will either walk in blessing or in curse, depending on how you line up with that little piece of land. And from the tree in the garden, to the Sabbath day, to the tithe, to that little piece of land that all the nations war over today. How is it possible? There's no oil in Israel. There's no gold in Israel. There's no diamonds in Israel. There is nothing in that land. It was a dry, desert, deserted land. But God said, that land is mine. Father, I pray that in Batavia, New York, you would find a people who relate to you and to your covenant, who relate to your word, who take you seriously, and who do so, God, by enjoying all that you've given us to enjoy and respecting the boundaries that you have set for us. Cause this church to come into the fullness of the next level of anointing that you've called them to. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. How many of you have been to Israel? Raise your hands if you've been to Israel, if you've been there. How many of you have not been to Israel? Raise your hands. All right, we'll have a time of repentance in a few moments at the end of the service. I want to invite you right now to come to Israel with me. We have a video that we've prepared that shows just one of eight different outreaches that we as a ministry engage in the land of Israel every single day. It's our blessing every morning to wake up and to touch the nations of the earth, to touch God's people, and to connect them to that little piece of dirt. And this is just one of eight different ministry outreaches that when you support Eagle's Wings and when you stand with us in regular missions giving, that you're helping us move forward. Nothing in this morning's offering, not a penny of it comes to me. None of my book sales, none of my tape sales, none of that comes to me. 100% of that goes on to bless the work of the Lord. Come with me right now to Jerusalem. This is our feeding center in Jerusalem. God bless you.
Many times, those of us in America are unaware that Israel faces some significant poverty issues. Many of the new immigrants who come, many of those who've come from the former Soviet Union or from Ethiopia, many of them are struggling to make it here in the land. Many of the Holocaust survivors came with no family, with no training, and now they're very old and they're endeavoring to make a life for themselves here. You and I together can reach out with the love of God in the name of Jesus and meet practical needs for these who are Jesus' family. These are Jesus' brothers and sisters. The Bible says, as much as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, These are the biological family of Jesus, and we're reaching out to them with love and compassion today, together through our partnership. What is it like to be here with Eagle's Wings and see that we're not only doing the tourist things, but we're coming here and we're doing practical things?
It's so very meaningful, especially that the heart of a pastor is to be able to serve and to train others how to have that same kind of heart.
Right.
And to see it here, not only to feed the hungry, but to feed every need, every spiritual need, for whatever need that you have, whatever lacking.
It's time for you to say, I want to be a part, not only of the idea of Israel, not only of the idea of what's happening in the Holy Land, but I want to do something real. I want to do something practical. You can do that by joining us on one of our pilgrimages, or you can do that by becoming a monthly partner and saying, I'm standing with Eagle's Wings. I'm standing with you in the work that you're doing in the land. Won't you prayerfully consider today joining with us and making a real difference?
I came here from Denver, Colorado. That's where I grew up. I made Aliyah 15 years ago. Even though I have a master's in applied math, I could never get my Hebrew very good, so I never got good enough to really compete in the high-tech workforce. I come here as often as I can because it really is the best food around, for one thing. It's very nutritious. They somehow managed to get about 20 different vegetables into every meal. For those who support Eagle's Wings and for the Eagle's Wings organization, I really do thank you. It's how I get my food.
Isn't that beautiful? Come on, will you clap your hands for that? That is so beautiful. And I've been to that feeding center with you. We had it.